I'd like to say good morning to everybody. What a blessed thing it is to be here with you this morning. So thankful for the opportunity to be up here. It's humbling to stand up here where we have people like Alan Greeley and Brian Sheely stand. We're blessed to have such amazing preachers at this congregation that are so effective, and we love them, and we thank all the work that they put into it. And whenever you prepare a lesson, and both those men have full-time jobs, you really respect them whenever you're putting one together yourself, because there's a lot of work that's put into it. So I'm very thankful to be up here with you today. Today we're going to talk about something that impacts everybody in this room. It's going to impact the little ones that maybe not as much right now, but as they get a little bit older, it's going to impact them as they get a little bit older. But that's the media choices that we make that influence our hearts and our minds and our souls. There was a preacher that went into a friend's house, and as he entered into that house, over by the TV, there was a little sign. And that sign read, How dare we be entertained by those things that sent Jesus to the cross? And when I read that, it really resonated with me. And I want to read it again so that way it just really sinks in. How dare we be entertained by those things that sent Jesus to the cross? You can kind of get an idea where I'm going by that picture. I didn't know whether to put it up or not, but I thought it kind of helped prove the point. We need to think about this sign, because this sign is very broad, sweeping, but it's also very to the point. And we need to consider this every time that we do something in our lives. So what we're going to do is, before we get kickstarted off, we're going to start with a couple scriptures that are going to help us with our mindset. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Matthew 22 and verse 37, it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." We're also going to turn over into Luke. And in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate." Now, hate in our vernacular usually means something a little bit different, but here it means to love less. So it says this: "If anyone comes to me and does not love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples." Our love for God should be greater than anything that we have in our lives. Our love for God should be greater than a TV show. Our love for God should be greater than a phone app, a movie that we like to watch, or the music that we listen to on a regular basis. The love that we have for the Lord requires us to give up certain things or change certain things in our life if they go in contrary to what God would have us to be. The rich young ruler, if you remember that story, he was asked to give up everything. We're not asked to do that necessarily, but we are asked to give up and change things in our life. That's what repentance is. So with these two scriptures in mind, we're going to power forward, and we're going to focus on some different types of media. And I hope that we have the proper mindset as we go into this, that we need to be open to being able to change and truly look at the media that we have in our homes and in our hands and in our lives and in our children's lives. Normally, when we talk about media, we talk about TVs and movies and music and books and newspapers and magazines. And you know, these are old-school media worries. They're still ever present today, and there's still things that we need to worry about. But today, we have internet. We've got Facebook. We've got Twitter. We've got Instagram. We've got Snapchat. We've got YouTube. We've got Vimeo. We've got Pandora, and on and on and on. And I don't even know what some of those are, but we got them. But, you know, intrinsically, none of these are bad in themselves, but it depends on how we use them. They're just delivery systems. They're just delivering us information and content on a regular basis. So what that's going to do is, this is kind of giving us our mindset for our first point. God cares about our minds. We need to realize that. God truly cares about our minds, because that's the avenue to our heart, right? We see this in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. I'm going to read the first half of that. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." What goes on in my mind, in essence, is what I am and who I am. So, what happens when I fill my mind and my heart with filth. It will negatively influence who I am and who people see on a daily basis. And God knows this. Incidentally, the devil knows this as well. And nothing pleases the devil more than to fill my mind with filth and negativity, and also to fill my heart with evil. This brings to mind Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually." We need to remember the old adage, garbage in and garbage out. It's important that we feed our minds good things. It's important that we feed our minds godly things. Two things can't be in the same space. And God cares about what we put in our minds. We know this because we read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think or dwell on these things." We also read in Psalms 101 verse 3 that it says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." Think about that. It's not about putting something, God wants our thoughts to be pure. And that's the main intent of this scripture. And the devil absolutely wants what is opposite of God. So if God wants our thoughts to be pure, the devil wants our thoughts to be impure. So we need to care about what goes into our hearts as much as God does. So that means that we need to safeguard our hearts, which brings us now to this scripture, Psalms 101 verse 3. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." I want you to notice this. It says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." He doesn't say, "I won't see anything wicked." You can't live in this world and not see wicked things. You can't just walk down the street and not see ungodliness. But it says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." There's an actual action there of me putting it in front of my face. It's a choice. I will not fill my mind with filth. I want you to think about this as you think about the things that you put in your house and what you put before your eyes. When you're at home alone, whenever your kids are off in their room alone, think about the TV, the music, the movies, and the other social media that they have at their fingertips, that you have at your fingertips on a daily basis, from minute to minute. It's scary. A majority of it is full of what God wants us not to fill our minds with. I'm getting some head nods out there. You can't go to social media and be there very long without seeing things pop up at times when you go to certain things or you see what people are posting out there. So we need to make sure that we are very mindful of that we need to fill ourselves with good, godly things. I'm just going to pick on TV programming for a second because it's been around the longest. Well, newspaper's been around longer, but programming most frequently watched by adolescents. This is a scary one. 83% of it contains at least some sexual content. That's for adolescents. That's the good stuff, right? That's the PG stuff that we put in front of our kids. 83% contains at least some sexual content. So the problem is that we think that we're immune to it, or at least we think we are, and it doesn't bother us anymore. We're passing through and we see something on the TV and it might be halfway inappropriate, but it's PG inappropriate, and it doesn't bother us anymore. That should scare us, because that is getting into the minds of our children, and we've become immune to it. We don't hate evil. We don't hate ungodliness anymore. That brings us to point number two. The media absolutely has changed. We've come a long way since Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke, and Bonanza. I love Bonanza growing up. It was a great show. And if you remember, all these TV shows, for the most part, they had a lesson to be learned, right? There was always some sort of lesson that was being taught or learned, or if there was something bad being done, it was actually looked at as being bad in the TV show, and good always won out. So that way that moral lesson would be taught. And sin was not glorified and paraded in our faces back then, right? However, now we have Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Shameless, Orange is the New Black, obviously referencing the jail uniforms. Game of Thrones, Big Little Lies, Lucifer, Walking Dead. Shows today glorify and set on a pedestal power, drugs, sex, lies, murdering, homosexuality, and the list just absolutely goes on and on and on. This type of content and mindset is not only on TVs, but it's available right in your hands. It's available in your children's hands. And that should scare us. That should cause us to have action around these things. I'm not saying that the phone is bad. I'm not saying that these apps are bad. I'm not saying that TV is bad. But we need to be in control of these things, and we need to understand that that is out there, and we need to be proactive in protecting our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and our children's minds, hearts, and souls. I don't know who said this, but it's true. Of course, it's true. It was on Facebook. But the screen in your living room is a teacher. That is so true. I want to change it up a little bit, though, because that's a little old school. That's just talking TV. The screen in your hand or your child's hand is a teacher. Isn't that the truth? Especially when they're just sitting there staring at it, and it becomes their new reality. So my question is what is it teaching you? What is it embedding in your children's hearts and minds? And I'm going to talk to the kids real quick. What are you letting being put into your mind? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it something that's going to make you a better person to serve God? You got to protect yourselves. It's very important. We must remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, excuse me, I love you kids. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is busy. He's out there, right? He is actively seeking ways to devour our hearts and our minds. He's actively seeking ways to devour the hearts and the minds of our children. Which brings us to point number 3. How does the devil use media? Remember, media is not bad. I just want to make sure I reiterate this. It's just how you use it, because you can use it for good. And we're going to talk about that little later on. But, you know, we got the step-by-step program. Alan and Brian do a phenomenal job with that. We have the website, which has all of our lessons out there, so people can go to the internet in different countries all over the world and get lessons about God and Christ and how he died for us. There are good, clean movies out there. There's documentaries and things in which you can teach people about, you know, the creation, Genesis is history. You know, there's good, clean music out there that you can listen to. But we got to remember, it's just like money. Money could be used for good, or it could be used for bad. And we have control over that. So first, he uses media to steal our precious time. This is how Satan uses the media. Let's look at some unsettling numbers here. An average American watches 4 hours of TV a day, 28 hours a week, 2 months per year, and 9 years in 65. Let that sink in for a second. That's just TV. Now, obviously, this is an average, and there's people that watch more, which is crazy to me, and then there's people that actually watch less. But that's the American average. What's even more disturbing is that's 9 years and 65 just watching TV. But you add social media into it, it jumps to 2 to 3 times that. That's 18 to 24 years in 65. That's just insane. And I sat down, I tried to figure out how in the world can someone spend that much time, that much time watching TV or social media. But then I thought about it. How many times have I got up in the morning, first thing I do is I grab my phone. Okay, I'm looking at news. Okay, what's the weather? All right, I go over here and I'm brushing my teeth. I'm going through Facebook, looking at seeing what's going on. Well, the first 2 hours of my day I've just spent on my phone. It's crazy. Someone texts me, I'm texting them back. I'm checking emails. I get home that night, find out what happened in the day. And it's scary because I looked at it, I was like, man, I'm not that bad, but I'm bad whenever I started doing the math on it. So We need to safeguard against that. We need to realize that that is very dangerous for us. Here's some other stats for you. Teens spend an average of 9 hours a day online, and that's, or excuse me, yeah, 9 hours a day online, and you add TV to that, that's about 12 overall. 6 hours for kids age 8 to 12, because, you know, it's a good babysitter, right? Here's the iPad. And then 50 minutes for kids between 0 and 8. This is mind-blowing to me. But the adults are just as bad. American adults spend more than 11 hours per day watching, reading, listening to, or simply interacting on media. Is that you? I just realized it was partially me. That's on your TV or on your smartphone or something just sitting there in your hand. So you might say, oh, Jason, that's not me. I don't do it that much. Okay, well, let's say you do it half that. All right. Well, half that is 5 hours a day instead of 11. That's still 75 days per year. 75 days per year, consistent, 75 days per year that you're not doing other things, or 2 months, pure 2 months out of the year with you and just your hand in media right there, or watching TV or doing something else. So that begs the question, and we each need to ask this of ourselves, what are we not doing with this time, right? Because we're obviously just focused on that. We're not doing what we need to be doing. So let me ask you this. How's your prayer life? Is it suffering? Is it getting better? Are you speaking with God while you're doing all these other activities? Do you speak with God as much as you're on chatting with other people? How's your Bible study? Are you content with where you're at? Are you to the level where you want to be? We should be ever growing in Christ, right? We should be ever hungry to grow in Christ and learn more and strive to be better people to serve God. Are you growing in Christ? Are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? Does your Bible get opened up as much as you turn on your phone to just check Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever it might be? Do we visit people as much as we should? Do we host people as much as we should? Or do we hide behind a screen and that's our only communication with people? You know, these are questions that we need to ask ourselves, because if we're doing these things on Facebook and we're just tied up in all this stuff and we're not doing things that God would have us to do, are we really serving God like we should be? Are we in the same room with our family but no conversation going on? Are we not having any quality time with our kids, our spouses and us? Are we just coexisting? You know, I'm in my own world over here. She's in her own world over there. We need to realize how we use our time is a biblical thing. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, and it makes it clear. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The word redeem here means to buy, to secure, to make the most of, to take advantage of. We are to secure our time and make the most of it for the Lord. Let's also read John chapter 9 verse 4. John chapter 9 verse 4. It says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." We must have this mindset. Our time is to be about the work of God. The devil loves to fill our time with anything, and that steals us away from the work of God. So the question is, how else does the devil use media? He is stealing our relationships. This is one of Satan's most clever ploys. He's good at this one. He steals us away from our friends. He steals us away from our families. He steals us away from our spouses. He steals us away from our children. And ultimately, in the end, he steals us away from God through media. Read with me Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him, and a three-strand cord is not quickly broken." Satan knows that we are strong when we are close with our Christian family, right? However, if he can make our relationship shallow, like we don't spend time with our friends, but we just Facebook them, that's not friendship. Or if our friendship is only through an app, he knows that he can weaken us, right? Oh, I got 700 friends. Really? Do you really have 700 friends? They're not friends. Friends are people that you're crying on each other's shoulder. You're laughing together. You're there for each other whenever you need each other. We cannot let him steal our relationships from us. They're great tools. I got buddies who I haven't seen in 20, 30 years. We could keep connection with each other. That's great. It's great for that. But let's not call those close friendships. Close friendships are whenever the time gets tough and you study your Bible together and you're in each other's homes. We must make time to be known by each other and spend time with each other. That's so important. Satan also strives to steal us away from our kids and our family. Satan knows that if he steals us away from our kids, they won't be taught the Bible. They won't be having meaningful conversations with their parents to help mold them at the dinner table. They too will also one day stare at their phones because their mom and dads did it, and it's just the way that they're raised. They never had meaningful conversations with their parents. Satan knows that if he steals our kids, that next generation will get farther and farther away because they weren't molded and taught how to live. This is also true with the elderly. Do we ignore our family instead of enjoying them in their golden years? Mitch, are you in your golden years? Do we sit and listen to the wisdom that they have to share with us because they've been through a couple extra generations before us? Do we take the time to enjoy them? Or do we just kind of pass the time, we get on our Facebook, and that's all we do? These are things that we need to consider. Satan also steals our relationship with our spouses. This is through media as well. And this is one of the ways in which Satan can be his most destructive, I truly believe. Because if Satan knows that he could pull a husband and wife apart from each other, he can absolutely destroy the family. You know, in many cases, it's sad because, you know, you think about this. Husbands and wives could be in the same room with each other, but they're absolutely alone. They could be even in the same bed, but they're absolutely alone. Men watching videos, watching sports clips, enthralled in their phone, answering emails from work, while their wife just lays there feeling abandoned or ignored. Women searching on Pinterest, trolling through Instagram, interested in everyone else's lives, while their husbands lay there hurt and feeling unloved. Satan knows that if he can destroy a husband and wife's relationship, that their children won't be as strong. When times get tough, they're more likely to be divorced. We need to make sure that we're putting down the phone and we're paying attention to our spouses. We are as one. When you become married, you become one. It's not two separate lives on the internet. If Satan can pull us apart, he'll destroy our families. And lastly, and this is the most terrifying, he can actually pull us away from God with social media and different types of media. He knows that if we spend 11 hours a day on media, that's 11 hours a day that we're not studying our Bibles. That's 11 hours a day that we're not praying. That's 11 hours a day that we're not visiting other people. That's 11 hours a day that we're not hosting people in our homes. That's 11 hours a day that we're not getting closer to God. He knows he can pull faithful people away with non-sinful activities that fill our time. Think about that. These things necessarily aren't sinful, but by us just letting them take over our lives, Satan knows that good, strong, faithful people could be pulled away from God. And then in the end, Satan wins in that case. We should not let anything come between us and our Lord and our God. The cost is absolutely too high. The devil also knows if he steals our innocence and makes us callous to sin, we are more susceptible to succumb to it and accept it in our lives. I mentioned before that media can be good. And I think we need to realize that, you know, cramming good things into our lives is one thing, but we need to realize what's actually being crammed into our minds through social media and what's being crammed into our hearts on a daily basis. Vulgarity just runs rampant on the internet. You can't go through posts and read people's comments on some things without having just language and behavior shoved into your face. Also, what's being shoved into our minds and our hearts is vanity. How many selfies a day can a person take? I'm not saying selfies are bad, but it's so funny. For how many years did the camera only face forward? But as soon as it got turned around and faces towards us, we just got selfies galore. We got duck faces. I don't know how that all works, but it's crazy. You know, people just posting their money and their sexuality and their greed, and it just, it's not good. It's not healthy. How about the lack of values being shoved into our hearts and into our minds on a daily basis? The immodesty, the adultery, the fornication, the homosexuality, all of this is just being just shoved into our minds and making us more callous to it, so it doesn't just hurt our soul when we hear about it. It doesn't make us ache. It doesn't make us hate evil. How about laziness? You know, slothfulness. I'm not going to go get a job. Or you're just sitting there hunched over like this for 9 years out of 65. It promotes that as well. How about violence? You know, I'm a police officer. Rick is a retired police officer. He's a retired police officer as well. And, you know, you could become a part of groups, right? On Facebook, they're kind of closed groups. And some of them I had to get off of because there's a lot of violence that's posted on there, because in law enforcement, you see a lot of stuff and there's videos of it. And so finally, some of them I just had to get off of, because just even in that, it's a line of business. There's just a lot of violence that's posted out there that, you know, I didn't want to see it whenever I was a police officer, but I don't want to see it now that I'm not a police officer. Or, you know, every time I scroll through, or people are posting stuff about, you know, this person got punched over here, or there's violence here, these people hate these people here, these politicians got punched over here. It's violence just all over the place. And there's this bloody aggression and yelling and just hate mongering all over the place. Do we let that just feed into our hearts and our souls? Do we let our children see that on a regular basis? You know, the scary thing about it is it's all just a click or a swipe away. When I was younger, we had 3 or 4 channels. I don't remember, Lisa, but we had to turn the antenna just right. It was crazy. We lived in the boonies. I had nothing at my fingertips. It was outstanding. But now, myself, you, our kids, all they got to do is pick up their phone. It's not a party line anymore. And it's right there at their fingertips. And it's disturbing. But we need to be proactive. Another thing that we need to remember is that it's out there trying to steal us away, so that way we one day won't see God. In Mark chapter 5, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What's our end game? Our end game is to be with God, right? Our end game is to be with the Lord and see Him on that final day. If we are impure and we let all this stuff into our heart, will we win that race? We need to make sure that we realize that. All right, the last topic before we get into application, because it's all about practical living, right? That's what we're focusing on. The last topic is stealing our influence. All right, we need to stop posting our impurity online. And this might not impact some people, this might impact some people here, but this is something that we really need to make sure that we strive to do, because we impact other people when they see how we're living, right? If people see us walking down the street and we do something wrong, you know, it's isolated, but those few people saw us do something wrong. When we put it on Facebook, my 750 friends, or I don't even know how we have, they all see what I do, right? So if I am doing sinful things or posting impurity online, think about how much more of an impact that has. Because these are all people who know me. I profess to be a Christian, but I'm posting this stuff online. When I walk down the street, there's maybe 15 people that don't even know who I am. They might see me do something wrong. Think about the influence and the impact that you have when you post things. So stop posting your impurity. First of all, don't feed into the negative rants. Be a beacon of positivity. Are we Christians, or are we like the world? If you're feeding into negativity and you're just having all these angry rants, if a brother has an anger problem, your influence is gone. They can't come to you. You got the same problem as them. Stop posting your ungodly activities. Don't post pictures that will cause others to stumble. I don't want to see pictures of you and your two buddies out there some night, round the table with your arms around each other and three beers on the table. I don't want to see that. I don't want my kids to see that. I don't want people to associate you with the church, this family that attends here. Stop posting pictures like that. Stop posting pictures of your kids going to ungodly events dressed questionably. That influences my children. I'm raising my children that prom is not where they need to be. When I see pictures of people that are faithful and their kids are going to these questionable events dressed inappropriately, you're influencing my children. And when my children might have questions, your influence is gone with them. And your children's influence is gone with them. Stop posting a false persona. People try to compare themselves with this perfect world that's on Facebook and on Instagram, and it's not reality. Your influence is gone with these people because your life is so perfect on Facebook that they might be embarrassed and they feel like they can't come to you because of their imperfections. Stop posting your personal drama. The world doesn't need to know you're trash. You need to get with God on that, and you need to talk with whoever you have a problem with. Stop bad-mouthing your spouse. Stop bad-mouthing your employer. This validates other people's bad behavior, and your influence is gone with them if a need arises with spiritual counseling from a friend. Stop posting immodest pictures. This is something that really discourages me. I'm just going to be straightforward with you. When I see young ladies or older ladies even dressed in inappropriate dresses or taking selfies of themselves in their bikini and posting it out for the whole world to see, or this one blows my mind, I'm pregnant, so that gives me the okay to dress half naked and have a photo shoot and have pregnancy pictures. I want you all to hear me speak very clearly. A special event or a season does not give validation or cause for immodesty. I'm getting some head nods on that, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
A special event or a season does not give validation for immodesty. We have some beautiful ladies out there. Save that for your husbands. We need to make sure that we are pure. Because if you're posting things like this, when it comes to purity, your influence is gone. And lastly, we kind of touched on this a little bit, vanity. The endless selfies show the world that you're just self-absorbed. So when people need help, are they going to go to someone that is fully self-absorbed, or are they going to go to someone that is caring and reaching out to other people? You might be that caring person, but the person that you're putting out there is someone that's very self-absorbed, and your influence is gone at that point. So now let's flip the coin a little bit on this topic. When we click the like button or condone that behavior, our influence is gone as well because we are partaking in that sin. Romans chapter 1 verse 32 tells us that, and we're going to read that a little bit later on, but we need to understand that if someone's posting these pictures and you go, oh honey, you're beautiful, and we just click like on it, yes, they're beautiful, but they're sinning in what they're doing. And by you commenting on it and say, oh, that's great, or I love it, or thumbs up, you're condoning that sin, and you're taking part in that sin. Do we want to condone and or celebrate immodesty, anger, drama, vanity? No, we don't. We don't want to do that. We want to walk circumspectly and glorify God in all things. I know this is a lot of information, but we're going to start now looking at some application because that's where the rubber hits the road, right? Jason, that's great. That's great that you've gone all over that. I love Brian's lesson the other day, the why. We need to get into some application about this. And these are the things that I think that are going to help us when we go Monday through Saturday, right? So let's dig into it. This is going to be a list, and then we're going to get into some questions that will help us with this list. And I'm just going to read through these. Let's keep the computer and the use of the computer in a public place. There's a lot of people out there that have problems with this. There's people that have problems with pornography. Our children are coming up where it's very prevalent. Keep the computer out where it's a place where it keeps them honest, okay? They're young, they're impressionable, and there's things that are popping up that they might just click on, and it'll take them down a rabbit hole that they didn't intend on going down. Don't allow your children to hide behind closed doors in their room. My kids aren't allowed to have their doors closed. our children, sorry, unless they're changing their clothes. There's no closed doors in our house. We're an open family. We know what's going on all the time. Use tracking apps to tell what your child is doing or what's going on their phone or what websites they've been going to. All three of my kids know that I have something on their phone and I can see every website they go to. I'm honest about it. Michelle and I talked about it. We understand how dangerous these things are, but we also understand that our kids need to be able to be tech savvy and use things to be able to be in this world, right? But we're safeguarding against that. Number four, if your child is weak, get rid of the device. If you're weak, get rid of the device. Enlist help from someone to get a lock on your computer so that way you don't have to worry about it. Number five, parents, be in control. You have the ultimate say on all media. Control it. Number six, make sure that you have all the passcodes and check their phone on a regular basis. And number seven, take it away if you have to. Set limits and hold to them. Once again, I'm going to be bold here. Parents, get a spine. Our children aren't our friends. Our children are our children because God blessed us with them to raise them in a way in which they will be future soldiers for Christ. We're not their friends. Be bold with them. Show them that you love them by exercising discipline. So you say, Jason, why take these steps? Well, let's go to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, we should flee sexual immorality. It says, don't allow conditions to let it grab hold of you or your children, right? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8 says, do not go near the door of her house, right? In other words, don't download apps that are a gateway to her door. There's some apps out there that are just truly bad, and we shouldn't have those on our phone. Use software that nails the door shut, more or less. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it away from you. Even more so, if your phone, your TV, your internet, your apps, or anything cause you to stumble, get rid of it. Get rid of your cable. Get rid of your phone. Get rid of anything that would cause you to fall away from God because the cost is too high. Your soul depends on it, and your children's soul depends on it. So, practical application on questions. Before you post something, these are the questions that you should ask yourself. How will my post or like impact the church? Is what I'm going to do going to bring negative reproach on the church? How will this reflect on me as a person? Does it show to people that I'm a Christian? Will it help me be a soul winner for Jesus? Might not necessarily be wrong, but is it going to anger other people? This is a political thing for me. Man, I have some strong opinions on political things. But I've tried to pare it down a lot over the last few years, especially since I've become an elder. But over the last probably 4 years, I've really tried to pare down my political posts because I believe strongly in them. But man, it's not worth pushing someone away so they won't hear what I have to say about God. Think about the future. How will this look to a future potential employer? I've hired a lot of people, and I've gone to a lot of Facebook posts and go, nope. Is this something that I would want out there forever? Is this something that whenever I'm 50, I want someone digging up whenever I was 18, 19, 20 years old and go, oh, look at this. I scrolled back 7, 8 years ago and there was things that I posted that I wasn't proud of. I was like, wow, that wasn't wise, because I wanted to go back and look at some of my stuff. And last, who am I? When I post this, I'm a father, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a father. Who am I? Am I someone that is going to be posting things that is going to cause remorse to my wife because of the way I'm saying things? Is it going to be something that is going to bring reproach on my kids because of the way I'm saying things? Is it going to be something that causes shame on the church because of what I'm saying? It doesn't show that I'm a Christian. Who am I as I post this? I need to answer these questions. So, Brian's little red thing says I'm over 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go hyperspeed on the last five, and if anybody wants them, I want you to have them. There's five tests to help you answer these questions. The first one is going to be the media test. You got to ask yourself, do I hate evil? Does it pass the test that I hate evil? God hates evil. Do I hate evil? The second one is the eye test. It says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Make your agreement that you will not set anything in front of yourself that is wicked. Do you set wicked things before your eyes? Does it pass the eye test? Third, does it pass the purity test? You know, the Lord died for his church so that way it would be pure and holy. Do the choices that I make bring reproach on the church? Does it pass the purity test? Does it pass the second hand test? This is the like button. This is the scripture. I want to read this one because I alluded to it earlier. Romans 1:32. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, hear me now, but also approve of those who practice them. I might not be engaging in the physical act of that sin, but if I approve of it, that is sin. Does it pass the secondhand test? And lastly, Philippians 4 and verse 8, focusing on all things, does it pass the thought test? Does it pass the thought test? Is it something that God would have me have in my mind? Is it worth me doing it? Go ahead and grab your songbooks for me, please. In closing, I believe media can be one of the primary spiritual silent killers of our time. It's a good thing, but it could be a bad thing at the same time. We need to make sure that we are walking circumspectly. We need to ask ourselves, am I being entertained by those things that sent Jesus to the cross? Am I being entertained by those things that sent Jesus to the cross? The lesson's yours. If you're ready to turn your life over to Jesus and be baptized with him for the forgiveness of your sins and turn your life over to him, water's ready. If you're a member of this congregation and you're struggling with things in your life, maybe this is something that you've been struggling with, you know, the elders are always available for you. We're here to talk with you. You have brothers and sisters that are here for you to talk with you if you're struggling with these things. If you just need the prayers of the church because you're struggling with something else, we're here for you. We'll pray for you right away. If you're in any of these boats, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.